So the scripture reading today is from Luke. It's chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, and then 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near." Then from 10, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So I called this being sent into the world. And like I said in the children's story, it depends on which version you read. Some say 72, some say 70. I pick 70 because it makes the rest of this message work better than 72. I don't really know what the right number is, and apparently there's some discrepancies. But the 70, if the 70 is the real number, is symbolic. It was the number of elders chosen by Moses that led and directed the people when they were in the wilderness. It's also the number of members in the Sanhedrin, which was the Supreme Council of the Jews. And at the time this was written, it's believed that this was the number of nations of the world at this time. And Luke could have been sort of hoping, expecting that in the future, since they covered the whole world, equal to number covering the whole world, that you would see the gospel of Jesus Christ go into the whole world. And not so much the gospel, but the love that went with that. And so there's two different groups of people I think he's speaking to. He's speaking to preachers. If you want to say the 70 or 72 that are going out are preachers. And he's kind of giving, so I would say disciples. Okay, trick question. Who are disciples? Okay, a little louder. Who are disciples? All of us. So whether you're a disciple or preacher, you're telling that story. So he's giving us some things to go by. So we must not get cluttered up with material things and travel, which was why the whole idea of the children's story was about the suitcase and not getting cluttered up. And I don't know if you guys have ever worked on, not necessarily a church project, but any project where all of a sudden they get so worried about doing stuff that they forget what they're doing. And so that's what he's telling us. Make the thing that is important, important, and don't let the stuff get in the way of what's important. The preachers are supposed to concentrate on the task at hand. So we're not supposed to be worried about where we're staying, what the food is going to be. Did everybody that was supposed to get there, get there? Did something that was supposed to happen not happen? Some of you guys that come a little early, every once in a while we have trouble with the projector. I always assume every Sunday that the projector's not going to work. And if it doesn't work, then it's not really a big deal because I have notes. I have like handwritten notes. The real question would be if I can read them or not, okay? And so things happen. Things go wrong. One day I came in and Joe's trying to fix the projector because it's like over there. And the other half of the screen is blank. And he thought something had happened to a projector, and he thought something happened here, and I said, oh, I can fix this. He goes, what do you do? I go, just turn it off and turn it back on again. It self-corrects. And so he turned it off and turned it back on. He goes, it works. I go, yeah, I messed around for like 40 minutes on a Sunday night till Rick got here and showed me how to fix it. So, and so stuff happens. But what he's telling us is, don't let the stuff that happens that gets in the way keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. If you're supposed to reach out to somebody, don't let car trouble, hotel trouble, projector trouble, whatever it is, get in the way of what you're supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do. Concentrate on that task at hand. So now this one, when I wrote it down, you guys have heard me talk about this before. I am really troubled about what I would call the prosperity sermons that get delivered now. That it isn't really, if you believe enough and give enough, which is code a lot of time for giving the guy who's telling you the story enough of your money, then everything good will happen to you. And there's a lot of that goes around. And I would say that's what's being talked about here. It's what, don't be in the act of preaching for what you're going to get out of it, especially if it's monetary, which is the way I took this, what he was thinking about here. Now, I will tell you that I often probably learn more when I'm doing a lesson than what you guys do, because I've told you before I use the liturgy, so there's always different scriptures. When I first started, because I was really scared, I would always pick the easiest one that I thought I knew something about, because I was scared. Well, as I've done this longer, and I realize that the worst that can happen is I'll talk about something, and however many there is out there, you're looking at me going like, what is he talking about? But maybe somebody understood me. So now I'm willing to do one that I think's, I either don't know or I think's harder, because then I learn more. And so I've made myself do that. So if I go through and there's one, oh, I really like that one. And here's one, gosh, that one's always been so confusing to me. I will pick the confusing one now. And then hopefully we all get through it together. But we shouldn't be in it for what we get out of it. But I do get a lot from the lessons. And I hope you guys do too. So he's telling them, when you go in, so do you guys remember when the guy threw the shoe at President Bush when he was in the Middle East? He was at some kind of a press conference. The guy took off a shoe and threw it. And then before the Secret Service could grab him, he took off the other shoe and threw it. In the Middle East, that shoe throwing dirt on the shoe thing, that's like worse than your house is dirty and your wife's ugly too kind of conversation, okay? And so when he talks about kicking the dust off your shoe and sandal and leaving, what he's really saying is, this town is so worthless, I don't even want the dust from your town to go with me. And so what he's saying, if you come into the town and you're accepted, great. And if they don't like you and they don't want you and they don't accept you, it's okay just to leave. But don't take anything with you. And don't be worried about you have to stay in the nicest house. It has to be the best food. Whatever God provides for you is okay. And most of all, we need to be responsible. We need to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because if you go through those, and kind of like Reader's Digest version, I think he's saying, God is going to lead you. Let God lead you. Don't let you try to lead God. Let God lead you. So then the other half of this is for anybody who's hearing the preacher preach. That'd be you guys today, okay? So there's two things he's suggesting. He said, first of all, don't reject God's invitation. And so sometimes, either where I'm speaking to you or someone else is speaking to you, you are going to hear an invitation to do something in there. And you're either, so I always say when people get scared, there's two things they do. They either fight or flee, flight or fright. What is it?
Fight.
Fight?
Flight,
which is a lot like leaving, or fight. Well, when God comes to us and he asks us to do something, we kind of do the same thing. Because we're going, oh man, I could do that. I just don't want to do that because I'm scared to do that, or I might fail, or we come up with all these things. And so he wants us to be aware that we are going to get these invitations and try not to reject them. because it's always easier to say no. We had all three grandchildren this week for 2 days, but it seemed longer. And the youngest one is, when he gets tired, say, hey, Ronan, come here, we're going to leave. I can't. Like, what do you mean you can't? I can't walk over there. Yeah, you can. It's like from Annie to I. I can't. Just come here. I can't. And so he's walking. I can't. We do the same thing. God asks us to do stuff, and we go, I can't. I can't do it. I know you're asking me to, but I can't. And he says it with such vigor. We do the same thing. We get these invitations, and we go, oh, I can't do it. It's too far. It's too high. It's too hard. Whatever. We find a reason. But the other part of what he says is, you get, when you choose to accept or not, that's our choice. God's not going to make us accept. And so the question is, are we going to accept whatever the invitation is and go into whatever glory that leads us to? Or are we going to reject it and whatever that leads us to? And so at the end, he's talking to the 70 again. He's kind of giving them some advice, but I don't think it's real clear what he's saying to them. They're talking about, you know what? We can drive out all this evil and wickedness in the world. And no matter what we do, as long as we do it in your name, it happens. And he goes, yeah, I know that. And then he kind of cautions them. He said, but be careful that you don't become so prideful that you think it's you doing it. That it's all about you. And so I think the overall theme of this is, it's not what we do for God, but it's what God does for us each and every moment of each and every day. And oftentimes people get confused because they think they're doing this stuff, that they make whatever happens, happens. At the end of the day, God leads us to do all that. The question is whether we give him the credit and we recognize his glory and grace in all of our lives. So at this time, we're going to have communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who in us repent of his sin, to seek and live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, we bring these bread and this juice to represent all that you have given us and all that you continue to give us each and every day. As we take part in this Holy Communion service, let us understand how much you do for us, that it's not about us, it's about you. Let us be led by you, guided and directed in all things we do by your love and your grace that you share with us each and every day. Although we don't deserve it, we so appreciate and are grateful for all that you do. Amen. So United Methodist Church, it's an open communion. Anyone who wants to can come forward. The juice represent Jesus' blood shared for us, this bread, his body given for us. You may come forward for communion. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful and grateful that we could come together this day, that we have the freedom to worship you. Let us never take that for granted. Let us invite all those who do not know and love you into this church to become part of your family. Guide us and direct us in all we say and do. Protect us as we go through this holiday weekend. Amen.